This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with this wonderful gathering. We pray that this weekend is a source of great good for this community and communities beyond this immediate area. We want to mention a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as related by Nu'man bin Bashir, an Nu'man ibn Bashir radiyallahu anhuma radiyallahu anhuma qal sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam qal inna al-halal bayyin wa inna al-haram bayyin وبينهما أمور مشتبهات لا يعلمهن كثير من الناس فمن اتقى الشبهات فقد استبرأ بدينه وعرضه ومن وقع في الشبهات وقع في الحرام كالراعي يرعى حول الحمى يشق أن يقع فيه ألا وإن لكل ملك حمى ألا وحمى الله محارمه ألا وإن في الجسد مضغة إذا صلحت صلح الجسد كله وإذا فسدت فسد الجسد كله ألا وهي القلب. So this hadith related, as you mentioned, on Nu'man bin Bashir, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, who were both companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, I heard the Messenger of Allah, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, say, the lawful is unambiguously clear, and the unlawful is unambiguously clear, and between them are doubtful matters. Most people do not know their rulings. Whoever avoids the doubtful matters escapes with his deen, his religion, and his honor intact. And whoever falls into the doubtful matters falls into the forbidden. Like a shepherd who grazes his flock around the sanctuary of a king. Every king has a sanctuary. And the sanctuary of Allah are those things he has made forbidden. Verily in the body, there is an organ. If it is sound, the entire body is sound. And if it is corrupt, the entire body is corrupt. Verily, it is the heart. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is letting us know that those things that are absolutely essential for our religion and for our well-being and for our good health, they are unambiguously clear and lawful. So there's no ambiguity concerning milk in terms of its lawfulness. There's no ambiguity concerning juice, orange juice, or fruit juice. There's no ambiguity concerning water. There's no ambiguity concerning properly slaughtered meat. There's no ambiguity in terms of their lawfulness. There's no ambiguity concerning the lawfulness of bread that doesn't have any lard or other things in it that might corrupt it. Those things are clear. There's no ambiguity concerning carrion in terms of it being haram. So dead meat that wasn't properly slaughtered. There's no ambiguity. There's no ambiguity concerning Allahumma salli Rasulillah, alcohol, wine, beer. There's no ambiguity concerning these things being forbidden. There's no ambiguity concerning filth, feces, or urine being forbidden to consume. There's no ambiguity. Inna al-halal bayyin, wa inna al-haram bayyin. وَبَيْنُهُمَا أُمُورٌ مُشْتَبِهَةٌ. Between them are doubtful matters. Things that are doubtful are not essential to our religion. So enjoying those good and pure things, That allows us to enjoy good health. That allows us to have our honor respected. And avoiding things that are clearly forbidden. That protects our health and that protects our honor. Between them are doubtful matters. Doubtful matters. Something like near beer. So it's near beer. Why is it doubtful? Because it's proven it has a small portion of alcohol in it. And as it sits in the can and ferments further, that portion can go. Can grow rather. And so it's a doubtful matter. It's near beer, haram, it's halal. Whoever avoids the doubtful things. So someone says, I'm not going to go near the near beer. فَكَدَ اسْتَبْرَعَ لِدِينِهِ وَعِبْدِهِ. They've escaped with their religion and their honor intact. Their religion's intact because no one can have any doubt. They say, I saw this brother, I saw this sister with a can of near beer. Don't they know there's a small percentage of alcohol? And they start questioning their deen. Well, if they drink near beer, maybe they drink wine. So now their deen is in question. The one who avoids it altogether, there's no question concerning their religion. There's no question. The one who goes near it, now their honor is being questioned. Like, what kind of person would drink something that might have alcohol in it? The one who avoids it, their honor is not questioned. That's an upright person, mashallah. They ran from the near beer, mashallah. It's good Muslim, good deen, uprightness. Verily, every king has a sanctuary, and the sanctuary of Allah, those things he has. And so then he goes on, فَمَنْ وَقَعَ فِي الشُّبُهَاتِ وَقَعَ فِي الْحَرَامِ. Whoever falls into those doubtful matters will fall into the haram. So the person ignores the possibility of this near beer, drinks it, and now it has a small alcohol content, and now they've fallen into the haram. They fall into the haram. The one who goes and grabs the loaf of bread, and they look and they don't see any kosher, halal symbol on it. But they grab it anyway, it's just bread. But that particular loaf was lard. It was cooked with lard, for example, which is rare, but just by way of example. And now they've inadvertently fallen into the haram. فَمَنْ وَقَعَ فِي الشُّبُهَاتِ وَقَعَ فِي الْحَرَامِ. And so we should thank Allah that we have people who are looking to protect our religion and our honor by letting us know that this is halal and letting us know this is haram. This protects our deen and it protects our honor. So and like a shepherd who grazes around a sanctuary. So right over the line is the area the king is forbidden to graze in. It's the private property of the king. But he lets his sheep go close. So they're right at the edge. So inevitably, one of the sheep is going to cross the line. Two or three of the sheep are going to go across the line. Every king has a sanctuary. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the King of Kings, has a sanctuary. أَلَا وَإِنَّ لِكُلِّ مَلِكٍ حِمَى وَحِمَى اللَّهِ مَحَارِمُهُ. And the sanctuary of Allah are the things he has forbidden. And so we should not go near them. We should not be like the shepherd who brings his sheep close to the line and inevitably falls over the line. Anything doubtful we should avoid. Because if it's doubtful, perhaps it's in the haram. And just we're being deceived because, well, you know, it's a small alcohol content. It will never make you drunk. Well, what is a principle in our religion? Anything that a large amount will make you intoxicated, a small amount is forbidden. It's a principle. It's a principle of what? Taqwa. It's a principle of taqwa. The first command in the Quran. So read the Fatiha. There's no command. Some might say, no, ihdina as-sirata al-mustaqim. That's not a command. That's not fil amr. Ihdi. That's called fil dua. A dua min al-adna ila al-a'la. When an imperative verb, a verb in the command form, is addressed from the one of lower status to the one of higher status, is a plea in the context of from us to Allah, is a dua, is a prayer. The imperative form from the ala to the adna is a command. So there are no commands in the Fatiha, there are dua. There's dua. And then Surah Baqarah. We read and read and read, and then the first command in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Oh humanity, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ. Fear your Lord. الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ, who has created you. وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ, and those who preceded you. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, in order that you will cultivate taqwa. And what is taqwa? At its basic level, امتثال الأوامر واجتناب النواهي. Implementing the orders and commandments of Allah and avoiding those things Allah has prohibited. And so by avoiding the doubtful things, our fear and reverence and respect for the forbidden things grows. This is why Ramadan is so important. In Ramadan, during the daytime, we don't avoid the doubtful things. What do we avoid? We avoid the lawful things during the time of the fasting. So for 30 days, for 1/12 of every year, we can avoid those things which ordinarily are lawful, good and pure. How much easier does it become to avoid those things which are unlawful and harmful and impure? So Ramadan, we're told what? يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامِ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Oh, you believers. So Allah is telling humanity that the essence of the prophetic tradition and the guidance that the prophets brought is to cultivate taqwa, mindfulness of the commandments and prohibitions of Allah in us. And then Allah is telling us believers, specifically, so that's general, for all of us and all other human beings. And then Allah tells us specifically, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتُبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ. Oh, you believers, fasting has been ordained for you, as it was ordained for those who preceded you, in order that you will grow in taqwa, in order that you will cultivate a healthier respect for the commandments and prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so by avoiding the doubtful matters during all of our time, and avoiding the lawful matters during Ramadan, our reverence and respect for the forbidden things grows. Our reverence and our respect for those things we commanded to engage in, it grows. Our reverence and respect for the halal and for the haram, it grows within us. And this is the wisdom of prohibition and the wisdom of commandments and the wisdom embodied in avoiding lawful things. And then what does Allah say at the end? Ala wa inna, the messenger of Allah rather, say at the end of this hadith, أَلَا وَإِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ مُضْغَةً. Verily, in the body there is an organ. إِذَا صَلَحَتْ. If this organ is sound, all of the limbs will be sound. وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ. فإذا صلحت صلح الجسد كله. If it is sound, all of the limbs will be sound. وإذا فسدت فسد الجسد كله. And if it is corrupt, all of the body, all of the limbs will be corrupt. ألا وهي القلب. Verily, it is the heart. Because the heart, this is the locus of taqwa. Another hadith, the Prophet mentions, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at-taqwa hahuna, wuyushiru ila sadrihi thalath marat. The taqwa is here, and he pointed to his chest, meaning his heart, three times. At-taqwa hahuna. At-taqwa hahuna. At-taqwa hahuna. So if the heart has taqwa, and that taqwa has been cultivated by a healthy respect for the lawful and the unlawful in terms of pursuing those things and engaging in those things and consuming those things which are lawful and pursuing those things and engaging in those things and for avoiding those things and not consuming those things which are unlawful, the taqwa grows in the heart. And the heart commands the limbs with good. The heart commands the limbs with good. And we become good people. And when we are good people, through and through, spiritually, intellectually, and physically, you are what you eat. And physically, what does the Prophet remind us of in that regard? In yet another hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبٌ إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبًا طَيِّبٌ إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبٌ وَلَا يَقَبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. Allah is good and pure and only accepts that which is good and pure. This is critically important for us. Allah إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبٌ وَلَا يَقَبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. Allah is good and pure and only accepts that which is good and pure. When we consume the haram, we render ourselves impure. When we are listening to haram, we're listening to lyrics, misogynistic lyrics, denigrating women, encouraging the abuse of women, filled with foul language and unlawful actions. We're corrupting our hearts. We're rendering ourselves impure. The end of the second hadith we mentioned, we'll go right, skip to the end in the interest of time. In the law, طَيِّبٌ وَلَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا وَذَكَرَ رَجُلًا. He mentioned a man. يَمُدُّ يَدَيْهِ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. He extends his hands to the heavens. يَا رَبْ فَذَكَرَ رَجُلًا أَشْعَثَ أَخْبَرَ يَمُدُّ يَدَيْهِ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ يَا رَبْ. Now why does he mention these things, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? This man has all of the sunan, all of the actions that are mentioned as bringing about an answer to our prayers. So, ذَكَرَ الرَّجُلْ أَشْعَثَ أَخْبَرَ. He's disheveled and dust covered. This indicates in those days he's a traveler. Du'ai musafir, du'ai musafir, mustajab. The prayer of the traveler is answered. Yamuddu yadehi ila samah. He extends his hands to the heavens. One of the sunan of the prayer is to have our hands open towards the heaven. The heavens, you call qibla to du'a. This is the qibla of the prayer. So he has that checked off. He's a traveler, check. He pleads to Allah through his lordship. Ya Rab, his rububiyah. This is another sunan of the prayers that are answered. Despite all of that, فَذَكَرَ رَجُلًا يَمُدُّ يَدَيْهِ أَشْعَثَ أَخْبَرَ يَمُدُّ يَدَيْهِ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ ya Rab. And he pleads to his Lord in his prayer. وَمَلْبَسُهُ حَرَامٌ. But the clothing he's wearing is haram. وَمَتْعَمُهُ haram. The food that he eats is haram. وَمَشْرَبُهُ haram. The drink that he consumes is haram. فَغُذِيَ بِالْحَرَامِ. He's nurtured by the haram. فَأَنَّ يُسْتَجَابُ لَهُ. For how could his prayer ever be accepted? So what negated the acceptability of his prayer, even though he brought all of those sunan, all of those prophetic practices that call for the acceptability of prayer? His being nurtured and surrounded by the haram. So brothers and sisters, let us value the halal. Let us value the halal. And let us understand, and we'll conclude the opening khutbah with this point, that shaitan wants us to consume the haram. Because shaitan knows the haram renders us impure. And Allah only accepts the pure. إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبٌ وَلَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. So what does Allah say in that regard? يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ كُلُوا مِمَّا فِي الْأَرْضِ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. Oh humanity, humankind. So halal is not just for us. And alhamdulillah, most of our halal businesses, their main customer base are not Muslims. Halal is for everybody. So Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ of humanity, كُلُوا مِمَّا فِي الْأَرْضِ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا. Eat from that which is in the earth, lawful and pure, حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Don't follow the footsteps of shaitan. Would he encourage you to eat from that which is impure? إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. He is unto you an open enemy. And his enmity is to turn us away from Allah. His enmity is to make us unacceptable with Allah. So don't follow the footsteps of shaitan. Follow the wisdom and guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger of Allah when they urge us to eat of that which is good and pure. حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَقُمْ اسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Just an interesting thing to note, that when Allah Ta'ala mentions the halal, the Messenger of Allah rather mentions the halal in the original hadith, we mentioned hadith Nu'man ibn Bashir radiallahu anhuma, إِنَّ الْحَلَالَ بَيِّن إِنَّ الْحَرَامَ بَيِّن. At the end of the hadith, what does he mention? أَلَا وَإِنَّ فِي الْجَسْدِ مُدْغَةً إِذَا صَلَحَتْ صَلَحَ الْجَسْدُ كُلُّ وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسْدُ كُلُّ أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبُ. Verily this organ is the heart. So I would mention this. We gathered here this weekend for a gathering, a festival, an educational affair, a communal affair, a family affair, affair of love, the love, an expression of the love that should exist between us. مَثَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِي تَوَدِّهِمْ وَتَرَاحُمِهِمْ وَتَعَطُوفِهِمْ مَثَلُ الْجَسَدِ. The likeness of the believers in their mutual love and their mutual mercy and their mutual affection is like a single body. And what is that festival called? I Heart Halal. إِنَّ الْحَلَالَ بَيِّن أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبُ. And the heart is the locus of the love. So let us love the halal, brothers and sisters. Let us be on a mission to bring the halal to humanity, not just to our community. Ya ayyuhan nas, kulu ya ayyuhan nas taqu rabbakum ya ayyuhan nas kulu mimma fil ardi halalan tayyiba. This should instill us with a sense of purpose, a sense of purpose to make sure our lives are immersed and steeped in the halal. Just as that man, or not just as that man, but reflecting on the fact that that man's prayer wasn't answered because his life was steeped in the haram. Wa qudiya bil haram. He's nurtured in the haram. Let us nurture ourselves in the halal. And let us see that as being part of our mission as Muslims in this country, to bring halal, to bring the good, the lawful, the pure to people. We have to live with a sense of mission. And that should be one of our missions, to convey to humanity the good things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has conveyed to us and brought into our lives, and to share that with others. The healthy family values of Islam, the modesty that Islam aims for, modesty in dress, modesty in actions. الإيمان بدع وسبعون شعبة أفضلها قول لا إله إلا الله وأدناها إماطة الأذى عن الطريق والحياء شعبة من الإيمان. So the hadith of the branches of faith is, if faith is 70 some odd branches, the most virtuous is to proclaim La ilaha illallah, and the least is to remove the harmful thing from the path, and shyness is a branch of faith. Doctors here, especially pediatricians and psychiatrists, know that 5 or 6 years ago, shyness was placed into the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Psychiatric Disorders as a psychiatric disorder. And so we should be a community striving to preserve shyness and to show people the virtue of shyness, which is a great virtue and not some disorder to be treated with a bevy of medicines to make our children bounce off the wall. They're too shy. We need them to be more open and audacious and bodacious. So we'll give them some drugs, which is way, that's the way the game is played. No, let's give people the good and the pure in all aspects of living. Let us turn ourselves and turn others away from following in the footsteps of Shaitan. In conclusion, the last time I was in Chicago, I arrived, I believe, overnight, on an overnight flight, Friday morning. And as soon as we got off the plane, we heard about the massacre in New Zealand. That terrible massacre that had taken place. 50 innocent Muslim men, women, and children massacred in those two masjids. Why do I say that? Amongst our missions should be our mission to bring the beauty that's in this room where human beings, black, white, brown, Asian, African descent, European descent, can all come together in a spirit of brotherhood and sisterhood. And to challenge the racism that's pushing us apart and pulling us apart and undermining our ability to be a reflection of what Allah Ta'ala reminds us of when He says again, addressing not us Muslims, but all of humanity. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارُفُوا إِنَّ أَكْرَمُكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ. O humanity, humankind, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ, verily we have created you from a single pair. So amongst the missions, and the two missions, the halal, and the mission to smash and destroy the idol of racism, they're related. We'll mention in a moment. But all humanity, verily we've created you from a single pair. And that's been genetically affirmed. The scientists who might be atheists don't say that single pair is Adam and Eve. But we say as Muslim, Adam and Eve. Adam wa Hawa. We're all parts of the same family. So what does Allah call us in Quran? Bani Adam, the family of Adam, the children of Adam. We are all children of Adam. And as for the differences between us, Allah says, وَجَعْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا. And we've made you into nations and tribes with different complexions and different hair colors and different eye colors and different statures. For what reason? لِتَعَارَفُوا. That you will recognize in each other. So the sixth form of the verb usually implies reciprocity. That you will recognize in each other not a foundation for claims of superiority. Islam says no one is superior to the other based on any physical trait. But you will recognize in each other the creative power of your Lord to create all of this diversity from that single pair. So the differences in the races and ethnicities, skin colors and hair textures, it's a glorification of the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a glorification of the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a sign of the power of Allah. And Allah reminds us of that not elsewhere when he says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ خَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِلْعَالِمِينَ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Oh, amongst his signs is the variation of your languages and your colors. A sign of Allah. So he says we've created these differences as a sign of the power of Allah and not as a foundation for some of you to hate others, some of you to kill others, some of you to belittle others, some of you to denigrate others. And so our mission as Muslims, whom this was addressed to, is to bring humanity to this understanding. Just as we have a mission to bring humanity to the halal. Inna akramakum indallah itqakum. The only one who can claim any superiority is the one who's more mindful of God. Taqwa. We started with taqwa and we end with taqwa. Inna akramakum indallah itqakum. What color is taqwa? What kind of hair does taqwa have? What are the eye colors of taqwa? So irrelevant. In Allah, لا ينظروا إلى صواركم وأموالكم. Allah doesn't look at your physical forms. Allah doesn't care if you're black or white, if you're red or brown, if you're yellow, polka dot, or purple. Allah doesn't care if you're rich or poor. In Allah, لا ينظروا إلى صواركم. وَأَمْوَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ يَنْظُرُوا إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَعَمَالِكُمْ. Rather, Allah looks at your hearts and He looks at your deeds. For may Allah bless us to be people with purified hearts. May Allah bless us to be people with purified hearts. May Allah bless us to be people with righteous deeds. May Allah bless us to be upright people. May Allah bless us to be a people who are infused with a sense, a healthy sense, and constructive sense of mission to share the good things that we're and that we find in our teachings with humanity. Allahumma ighfir lil muslimin wal muslimat.